The Holy Gospel this morning, a reading from the second chapter of St. John's Gospel. We listen to the 13th through 22nd verses. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords. He drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle, and scattered the coins of the money changers. He overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace?" His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous signs can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said, and then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God. It is intended not only to tell us about long ago, but more importantly, to help our lives here today. So as we allow it to bring us God's wonderful gift of new life, you may be seated. So this morning as we begin, I want to read for you a little further on in John's Gospel. It says this in John 10, and this is where Jesus proclaims one of his seven I am statements, "I am the good shepherd." So as he is going through that, he's talking about the shepherd and his flock, and talks about the great shepherd who leads his sheep. It says this in verse 4. "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." As we think about becoming and being more like Jesus, I want you to think and focus today on the voice of God. That voice that speaks all the time, and sometimes we claim not to hear it, or we wonder in today's contemporary society, is God really speaking anymore? The sheep know his voice. Let's pray. Lord God, give us insight, direction, and clarity to hear you speak. We give thanks for the gift of new life in Christ. We give thanks for the season as we journey to the cross to explore in our souls what it means to be more like the people you originally created us to be. We're sinful, but we are redeemed by the death of Jesus. We give thanks in your strong name. Amen. So, you know, as I read the scripture always over and over again, there are moments where God's voice is huge and big. As Jim read from Psalm 29, I hope you hung on some of those words. God's voice thundered as things were created. A moment ago, I read for you from John chapter 2, where Jesus comes into the temple courts. And he booms with a voice. He just didn't come in, "Hey, clean that stuff up." He said, "Set right this temple. Keep it holy." It's interesting. John's gospel leads with that as a foreshadow. The other gospels have the cleansing of the temple closer to the time of Passover when Jesus is betrayed and tried falsely and then crucified. John leads with it because he uses it to foreshadow this moment where he says, "I'll destroy this temple." He was really talking about his body. If you destroy it, God will raise it up. And they didn't really hear his voice. And I wonder how many times God speaks in Scripture. No, go back and you can do your own homework. Where over and over again, God is speaking into the lives of people on our storyboard adventure. And you can go out across from the Connect Center and you can re-identify and re-familiarize yourself with it. I've been reading in 1 and 2 Kings, the book of Judges, the raw story of these people of Israel. And the common denominator in every one of the stories, and it dawns on you when you read it and continue to read it, when they do good, they're listening to God. This isn't rocket science. But when they fail to listen to God, everything blows apart. And you'd think that we sitting here having this wonderful gift of sacred 66 books would go back and we'd say, whoa, the clue phone's ringing. It happened to them. I'll imagine it would happen to us today, that if we don't listen to God, things are going to blow up. But if we listen to God's voice, great things can happen. Now, God's voice comes in booming ways, but it comes also in still small voice. And these two classic stories that you probably know, and if you don't, I'll try to add some image to them today. One comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, the backstory is Hannah, a young woman, wanted to have a child more than anything else, but she was found that she couldn't have children, and she prayed to God continually over and over again, and God heard her voice, and he spoke his voice into her life, and she had a child. Which she had said to God in her prayers, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him back to you. And so the little boy Samuel, when he's of age to be trained by Eli, the priest, he's taken to the temple courts, and Hannah releases Eli, what she loved and yearned for her entire life, back into the care of God. What a powerful statement of faith. So Samuel's being taught by Eli. And as he's being taught over the course of time, he's in bed in another room, and he hears a voice. And so he runs to Eli, and he says, what do you want, Eli? I know you called me. Eli, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And this happens repetitively until finally Eli, it dawns on him, I know who's calling him. I know who's calling Samuel. It's God. This is the moment. So he says to Samuel, go back to bed. And if you hear your voice called, the voice call you again, if your name is called, this is what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant. And Samuel goes on to do phenomenally powerful things for God. Another one of these moments where God speaks in a, not the thundering or not the overturning of tables in the temple courts, like the power in this quiet, compassionate way, happens in 1 Kings 19. There we find the prophet Elijah. In the chapters previous, he has just annihilated the prophets of Baal. And Ahab the king and his wife Jezebel, they're angry. And so Jezebel starts to have her troops chase after Elijah, and he runs. He's frightened, even though he had the power of God in his possession. He's frightened, and he ends up in a cave. And there's a wild earthquake outside, but God's not in the earthquake. There's a storm, lightning, thunder. God's not in that storm. It ends up after repetitive moments, which are big, cataclysmic things, that God comes in a still, small voice. Still, small voice. A whisper, some of the scripture says. God sometimes will boom at us. And there are other times he whispers to us. When anybody booms at you, I think it does get your attention. I'm more concerned when God breathes these quiet words into our lives, as I believe he's doing today, that we just don't listen. Two times in Scripture, when Jesus is at moments of just importance. One at his baptism, and the other at the transfiguration on the mount with Moses and Elijah. God's voice booms. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." But there are other moments where these quiet prayers that Jesus has with the Father, like in John 17, where he prays to the Father in heaven. He says, "I know I'm heading to the cross. I know what you're having me do for all of humanity. But allow for those people." He connects the vertical with the horizontal. That's us. Because he loves us that much. "I'm the vine. You are the vine, are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear good fruit." The problem is, as God's voice comes to us, whether it's in the booming nature or in the lowly Savior of all nations who bows down his head on the cross, there are too many other voices that are out there in this world today that have claimed our attention. You know it and I know it. I just would like to stop this. This is not complicated theology 008. This is theology 001. We are sinful. We will, like the people of Israel, stop listening to God's voice. Always, it gets us into trouble. And when we hear God's voice, we blossom and flourish, for he's the vine dresser, and we're the vine, the branches connected to the vine, Jesus, and we will bear good fruit if we allow it to happen, but we have to listen for his voice. So you know, and I know, that we listen to too many voices, and sometimes we don't even know we're listening to them until all of a sudden we're in this big melee or problem, and so we listen to political voices, don't we? I'm not here to tell you what political voice to listen to. That's not my job as the Word of God comes into our sanctuary. But what it is my Word of God moment to share with you is what happens when you listen to either the right side of the aisle or the left side of the aisle. You begin to listen to a voice that may not have its focus on the true vine. And then what happens is you become branches that wither and fade and you don't bear fruit. And so in our culture today, what is happening is we're getting all wrapped up in listening to political voices, and it ends up where we're at odds with each other, and people don't like each other, and there's a lot of anger in our culture today and in the United States of America. And if we listen to the voice of God first, those voices wouldn't have as much power over us. Economic voices. You ever been in a place where you couldn't pay a bill? It's hard. It like sears deep. That voice just haunts you. I remember as Ida Lynn and I were married and kids were starting to come into our possession, little children. And at that time as a pastor, my salary was not all that large. I remember losing sleep at night, waking up and thinking to myself, how am I ever going to pay for them to go to college? It like blew me. Did God let me down? No, because I just kind of cast that aside, but that was a voice that overwhelmed me. The voice of thinking you'll never have enough, that's a voice in our culture today. We think our bank accounts have to be bigger and better and stronger, and if the stock market just takes a little turn, you know, we break out in hives. It's not a good thing to have those voices rule who we are, and yet they do. Those voices break us down instead of build us up. And it can happen even in your families. It can happen between husband and wife. Why is the divorce rate so great? People are listening to other voices instead of the voice of God. It's that simple and that complex. And so dial back from the voices of the world, no matter what they are. Dial back and sit and say, God, I need you to speak deep into my soul. I need to listen when you boom with direction and guidance. I also need to listen, Lord, when you speak quietly. And that's difficult. It's hard to do. Do you know sheep aren't very smart animals? And Jesus uses that analogy, and if you haven't figured it out, you can't self-select out of this one. We're the target. We're the sheep. We're not smart. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God, the book of Romans tells us. But along that journey, we have a shepherd, a loving shepherd, who will guide and direct us and keep us from all of the other harm that's out there. And I believe our God will keep us from those other voices. But we definitely have to desire to hear the shepherd's voice, to allow for him to lead us and guide and direct our path. So as I was going through memorizing my message, and it's a kind of a, I'll let you in on it if you want the back story. I woke up on Saturday morning, big time for me to do memory work, but before I needed my chair time with God, I needed to share some devotion so we could get my heart right. And lately, I'm back with Scripture and back into Jesus' calling. I don't know if many of us have used this. I've used it before. I said, let's do it again. So January 1st, I started back into it. So wouldn't you know, this is just like God. So you've already heard what I'm speaking on today. This is March 3rd, yesterday. I love you for who you are, not for what you do. Many voices vie for control of your mind. I read that and I'm like, really, God? Really? Especially when you sit in silence. You must learn to discern what is my voice and what is not. Ask my spirit to give you this discernment. Many of my children run around in circles trying to obey the various voices directing their lives. This results in fragmented, frustrating patterns of living. Do not fall into this trap. Walk closely with me each moment, listening for my directives and enjoying my companionship. Refuse to let other voices tie you up in knots. My sheep know my voice and follow me wherever I lead. This is something that we need to awaken to, I believe, in the contemporary church. Because in our digital, fast-paced, information-based culture, it's even a higher stakes risk than the people of Israel for us today. And if it was true for them that when they heard God's voice, they flourished, and when they stopped listening to God's voice, they crashed and burned, I believe it will be even more true for us today. Because there's more vying for our attention than long ago. Today, it's critical for us to wake up and listen to God's voice. So a few things I want to leave you with this morning. First is this, set your life to a new frequency. Set your life to a new frequency. And this is something that all of us can do. You know, this microphone that I'm wearing has a frequency that is programmed into it. Back at the deck, there's the same frequency alignment. So if my buddy Mr. Wig wanted to have me not be heard, he could alter the frequency by like 1/100th, and you wouldn't hear my microphone. You might hear static. I don't know what you'd hear. It's so important to be on the same frequency as God. And if we take and we calibrate even 1/100th, I mean, sometimes we think it'll take us to be on a whole different spectrum than God. And that is devastating when that happens. But if in your life just one little iota is out of place, bad things can happen because you're not listening to the one who understands you better than you know yourself. And God wants us to be on this frequency, which is his. I do believe that's what's causing so much of our problems in our culture today. We have given in to other frequencies. Last night I watched the movie Wanderer. Have any of you watched that? Like, you're laughing and crying like every other second. Little boy who had through birth some real difficulty with facial, just had to have 20-some surgeries, I believe. So homeschooled, he heads to middle school, and his face does not look like other children's faces. Middle school face, you even know where this is going. You know it before he gets to school, and it's really difficult. And there are so many other voices. It just dawned on me as I was thinking about my message and watching this flick. There are so many other voices that are like hammering this kid, taking him down to nothing. Well, it does not end with sadness, so I'll leave it there in case you haven't watched. But it's worth getting involved because it will resurrect inside of your soul the desire to be good people, to live on the frequency of God. Why does God tell us that the couple of greats that we're supposed to be about, love him and love each other, are the voices that we need to listen to? But what do we end up doing? We end up listening to a lot of other voices first. Voices that cause problems in our life. This little boy was bullied like no tomorrow, and all of us would say, that's one of the most horrendous things that can happen to a child, but it's been going on for generations. This isn't a new word in today's culture. One of the things that dawns on me is prayer requests that came through Wednesday night worship were all about students that are struggling today. Not too long ago, Kids Matter, and that's what Ida Lynn, my wife, is the executive director of. They put together with a professor at North Central College in District 203 and 204 a data from kids. It's called the State of the Kids in Naperville. And what was huge in that study, and I can't simplify it, but I'll try to kernelize a couple of the moments. What was huge is the stress level, and they looked at 7th and 10th grade students, so you know it's in both. The stress level was off the charts. Stress from too much activity, too much homework, too much pressure from their peers. But most of what was underneath it all was too much pressure from moms and dads pushing their kids the Naperville way, right? You got to have more AP classes. You have to get more A's. You got to be involved in soccer and basketball and lacrosse. And you got to be a stellar. You got to be on the debate club too. And you have to get in the best university possible because that's what we want. What voices do parents listen to when a child is put into their possession? I asked myself this question as my kids were going through that zone. Unique, individualized human beings, we're not all the same. And what pressure does a parent put on that child to get into the box of perfection? What voice is driving a mom and dad to do that? It's the voice of our culture that takes us down a road that's dead end. And kids are struggling. There are more overdose settings because drugs become a way out, a self-medication moment. Just the other day, another student at Naperville North High School took their life. And we're sad over these moments. But the reality is people are listening to other voices instead of the voice of God. And I do believe there's a solution. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Sometimes the most simple things, 1 + 1 = 2. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You lose any of the alphabet and you're not able to speak or write. Maybe we should just stop. Whether it's political, whether it's family crisis, whether it's the kids in our community, whether it's this drive to have more in our life, just stop and refocus where we are connecting and allow God's voice to teach us fresh and new. So have a new frequency. This is what I'd like to suggest for you to do. Have a new bandwidth. where you give up on some of the things that have your attention right now. You just kick them to the gutter. And you begin to fill your life with new things, serving others, spending more time with your kids or your friends, or instead of working late hours because it's going to get you a promotion or more money in the bank, you start to think, I should be at home with my students, my kids, helping them, guiding them so the pressure's not as heavy. I should just shower love as God showers love on us. Does it make a difference? It would change the game. And it's such a simple thing, which is so complex because these other voices drag us away until we are enslaved. And God is the one who frees us. He frees us to new ways of life. One of the things we have to do if we're going to set our lives to a new frequency is confess. I have to do it, so do you. And not just, I'm sorry, Lord, and move on to the next thing, but really, truly confess. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. We sang that, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He wanted to take the nation of Israel, which he did, to new heights. And he sent his son to die so that we might have life. And we're included in that. So all of the times, just like the people of Israel, where we listen to other voices, where we crash and burn, God says, it's okay. I love you. My grace is sufficient for you. I will get you to the other side. Lean on me. Lean on me. Many of you know that this past Wednesday morning, my mom, 97 years old, and many of you have shared with me, she is on the other side of life. She's in God's kingdom. And many of you have come up and embraced me this morning and over the past couple days, cards and just notes, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to help you understand something that I think I knew along my journey as a pastor real quick, that the reason why I do this is not to get stuck in the grief cycle. And I've done too many funerals where people get stuck. What does the scripture teach us? What does God's voice tell us about death? There is no sting in it. Because Jesus died, we pass through to his kingdom to come. This earth is not supposed to be about making it perfect and hearing all those voices telling us to perfect the earth. It's about pointing to his kingdom to come. So am I sad? Yeah, I'm sad because of the memories. Oh man, the flood of memories. I was laughing with my brother yesterday. I can't tell you the stories we were laughing about. It probably isn't appropriate for church, but we were belly laughing. But I was sad, too. And the minute I laugh, I cry. But I want you to know I'm not stuck in grief. Because my mom lived 97. I mean, come on. How much do you really want? She's in God's care. She's in new life. She's living a better life she lived than when she was here. And we get stuck in grief sometimes. And if the grief's voice talks to you too long, it'll take you down. I've counseled people stuck in grief. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has 5 stages of grief. You got to go through them all to get to the other side. I believe God wants to take us through to the other side to say, yeah, I miss my mom. They're great storylines, but am I celebrating with great joy? Yeah. I've always said when I leave this earth, I hope people throw a big beef and beer for me. That's all. That's all I'm going to tell you. We should celebrate life. The African-American community that we know in New Orleans that goes mourning to the grave, what do they do when they come back? They celebrate with great joy. And although this is Lent and we're not supposed to say he is risen indeed, he has. And that's the voice that needs to be in our soul all the time. Recalibrate your life to a new frequency. Start to think differently. Expunge all of that stuff that leads you away and claim the truth. 2 additional things. Expect God to show up. He will. Expect him to be present. Expect him to speak. He will speak. Always read more scripture. Pray more fervently. They're the communication tools that God has, and you can do your own assessment how many moments and words or pages have you read in God's Word this week from last Sunday to today? And I'm not judging you. I really am not. But if you're not reading God's Word, you're not in touch with His voice. That's the truth. That's how He communicates. And prayer is the other essential thing that God does. Do you have a regular prayer life? Do you get up in the morning and pray and at night and in between? And do you pray about the right things, not trying to manipulate God to do what you want to do? If you do that, God's going to speak. You're going to hear His booming voice, and you'll hear His still small voice. And finally, be silent, be still. Because I do believe that's the way God speaks to people in our culture today. We're too busy or too crazed. I'm sure you've already might. Message might be a little long. You've probably been thinking, what am I doing this afternoon? That's happened to you, then you are just in the place I'm talking about. Just take 15 minutes every morning. Don't do a thing. And allow God to breathe new life into you. I want to leave you with the words that come from Psalm 29, because as Jim read it today, I hung on these words. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. I hope you listen for that voice in a new way. Not just here in this church building, but as you leave, God engages you. He's speaking to you. Set a new frequency. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for guiding and directing our lives. Continue to allow us to clear the clutter, whether through confession or just a regimented moment that we have, that we say we're going to listen. And as we listen, we know you'll speak. Speak tenderly, compassionately, speak boldly, truthfully. And as we listen, we know we'll become more like you every day. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.